Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Dumps Defunk. Song is called Dancing to the Truth. This is the band that opened up for the Rolling Stones Monday night in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Ivan Neville is with Dumps Defunk. Ivan Neville, part of the first family of funk and rock in New Orleans, the Nevilles. Ivan, welcome to our show this afternoon.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good. I was thrilled to hear that you're actually a fan of the show.
Yeah, I listen all the time.
I appreciate that. So, Ivan, tell us what it was like to open up for the Stones, to be in front of that crowd that night.
It was thrilling. It was very fun. It was one of those things where you get the opportunity to play a show like that in the venue, in the Superdome, at home, and things just seemed to click and go well, and we had a blast, I got to tell you.
Now, Ivan, when you get ready for a show like that, you know, two things can happen. You can either get so anxious that you're kind of nervous and you're not as good as you want to be, or you can just relax and just suck up the moment, and it's like the best game a football team plays in a certain situation. Tell me what it was like.
You know what? That's a great way to describe it, because coming up to the days waiting to do the show, especially with the storm and all of that, and how it had been postponed before the Stones canceled the Jazz Fest, the anticipation of doing this gig, was nerve-wracking in itself. But I got to tell you, once we were in there, we did our little sound check, we got all our things coordinated, ready to go. And once we started playing the first song, we kind of knew. We knew that it was going to be a good little set,
Great
night.
Did you see Mick and Keith backstage?
Yes, I did have an opportunity to see them back there and have a few words.
Tell me what that was like. What did you guys talk about?
We didn't talk about just small talk. Just, hey, how you doing? Good to see you, kind of stuff. And they didn't have a lot of time, because they were, when I saw them was after I saw them after our set. So they were pretty much on their way to go and play pretty soon. And I got to see Keith for a little longer period of time before that, earlier in the evening. And then we kind of hung out for a little while. And we talk about, just regular stuff. How you doing? And how's the family? And all that kind of thing. Yeah.
You did keyboards for two Rolling Stones albums, 1986 Dirty Work and 1994's Voodoo Lounge. And then you were also part of Keith Richards' solo band, Expensive Winos. I asked your dad once on the show, how could you let your son tour with Keith Richards?
What did he say?
He said, I don't know if it was the best decision or something like that. He trusted you.
That's funny. Well, at the time, I was pretty wild, so I was not a good boy during those days. I was behaving very badly.
Well, I guess you were in the right company. Not that Keith Richards is for behaving badly now, but, the guys have an image.
I got to tell you, the image is very much overblown, because he's not really all about all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's more the legend that permeates that vibe about him. He's a cool guy that loves to play music,
Having toured... go ahead.
And I got to say, I guess I'm happy for having survived my wild days like that. I'm still here to tell the tale, so... Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way, Ivan. I'm sure Mick Jagger feels that way, Ronnie Wood, Charlie Watts. I mean, I feel that way. I've been doing this for a long time. I should be dead, too, based on past behavior.
Yeah. God bless you.
So when you were touring with Keith Richards, what was it about him that you think may be the key to his success of just being alive today?
You know, to tell you the truth, he, when we were traveling and playing music together, he was more about the music than everything else. You know, all the perks and the little extras, mm-hmm. and the things that the recreational things you might get into, he utilized it more as a tool. And mm-hmm. whereas myself, I was more indulging and abusing stuff, probably way more than someone like he was. He just plays music, and he's a guy that could stay up all night and not really do a whole lot of that other stuff. But me, on the other hand, I got pretty engrossed in it, you know?
Well, Ivan, how did you break away from that? Was there a moment when you decided, you know what, if I keep doing this, I'm going to be dead?
Well, there were some moments, and that's absolutely true, what you just said. I came to a point where I figured I wouldn't be around much longer if I continued living the way that I was living. And it wasn't like I made a decision. It was basically I kind of got lucky. I got lucky because I had many attempts at trying to straighten out, mm-hmm. and it just didn't stick. And then that one last time, that was in 1998, I turned the corner. You know, I went into one more treatment center, rehabilitation center to get off drugs and alcohol. I had been in five previous times, and this it just kind of something happened, and here I am still to this day to talk about it.
You know? How are you doing now?
I'm doing great. I'm on the road with Dumpster Funk. We're having a very interesting day, which I may get into later. But yeah, this coming year, next month will be 21 years of clean sobriety for me.
Good for you. I want you to talk for just a moment about that for people who deal with those issues, and then all the people who have beaten it and can relate to what you're about to say. When you think about performing under the influence and then think about performing straight, talk about that difference.
Well, you know, I thought before I got sober, I thought that that these outside things were helping to enhance what I was doing. But I really was, it was basically a big lie. Now, I got to tell you, when you have a few drinks and whatnot, it did help you relax a little bit and not be so nervous, you know, at times, mm-hmm. and things like that. But when you start abusing that stuff, it doesn't work anyway, you know. So there was a fear of, will I still be creative and all of that? And will I be able to, you know, stay up at late at night and be around on the scene? And stuff like that, but I come to find out that I'm more creative in this life than I really was before.
That's great.
I'm present. I'm present to enjoy it.
Yeah, you can appreciate it more than you could before.
And yes, indeed, I can feel it. You know, I can, you know, deal with life's ups and downs as they come, and feel I would call it the human experience. You know, why miss that? Why miss out on it?
You've played with, you know, the Stones and Keith Richards and Don Henley and Bonnie Raitt and Robbie Robertson, Rufus, Paula Abdul. I mean, the list goes on and on. What is it that you think you bring to their music? Because you know, as a Neville, there's something almost indefinable about what somebody like you can bring to music.
You know, I really don't. I don't have an exact answer to that, except to say that being from New Orleans, for one thing, is a kind of gets you in many doors. Like being a musician in this industry and having the last name Neville, that helped me a lot. And then I could play a little bit on my own. I got some talent to back it up, so I got in some doors. Because of who I am and because of where I'm from, people love New Orleans. New Orleans, you know, is to many people the center of the musical universe. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that helped me get meet a lot of people and the affiliations through being from the Neville family. you know, I met Bonnie Raitt early on in the early 80s, and I played in her band. And I've been playing with her recently. I played with her at Jazz Fest this past year. And, you know, you just kind of learn to do what's best for the music and let the music kind of interpret what you what your part is going to be. And that's, I guess that's what I bring to it. And, you know, I'm thankful for it. Yeah.
But, Ivan, it's interesting when, you know, somebody like Mick Jagger and the Stones, they want you to perform. You know, very early on, the Stones and the Beatles, and there were many, many bands who were part of the British Invasion who discovered R&B before white kids in the suburbs in America discovered R&B. So they saw something in that. So they're actually looking for you to bring that influence into their sound.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I mean, from what I understand, and from being around Keith as much as I've been around him, those guys just wanted to be a blues band. They wanted to be a blues band and play the music that they heard, that they liked, you know. And like you said, they definitely got were responsible in part for shining a light on some of that music that people were kind of taking for granted, and especially young white kids in those days. We're now exposed to this great music that was blues, you know, and rhythm and blues from people like Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry and the like, and Little Richard, Fats Domino, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was a white kid growing up in the suburbs, and I thought the Beatles wrote Roll Over Beethoven.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ivan, I played the song Dancing to the Truth by Dumpster Funk to introduce you, and I'm going to go to the break with Justice. Your lyrics have meaning.
You know what? Yes, they do. And we're not trying to be preaching and whatnot, but sometimes when you have a chance to create something and write a song and you can say something and you can have a little social commentary. In this world we live in today, sometimes music to groove and dance to and to think to as well is not a bad idea. So, you know, especially the song that you're going to play, Justice, that was influenced. We were influenced by a lot of things going around, happening, you know, in the cities all over the country. And, you know, the extra violence that young black men seen the face when they're confronted by police officers and things like that, and just a lot of things that go on. So we had to wrote this song called Justice, you know. And I don't want to be preachy. We don't want to be, you know, preachy, but we, you know, we get to play a little music, and if we can say a little something, why not?
Yeah. Ivan Neville, thanks for taking time with us and for sharing the experience of opening up for the Stones and your experience with Keith Richards, and thanks for, you know, just telling us about you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Scoot. I listen to you all the time. I got to tell you, I was listening yesterday, and I was kind of getting a little mad. I was listening to some stuff that y'all were talking about, and I was like, oh, I wanted to call. Many times I want to call in. I said, now I'm going to keep my opinion to myself. I don't want to get on one side or the other of the topics, and I'm listening to y'all, and I listen to you try to be objective about a lot of stuff. Because that's why I really like listening to you, because you don't come from one side or the other, and you try to explain that to people and let them know, listen, I'm not for or against the left or the right or the one in between. I'm just trying to be objective about what's going on. And when people come there so to one side or the other, it gets so aggravating to me that we used to get along.
Yeah,
no
we did.
Matter what our political affiliation was, we got along a lot better.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in the past, and now it's some stuff coming out that I forgot. You know,
yeah.
That okay, some of us feel like that.
I appreciate that very much. You know, look, sometimes the show can be a challenge, and sometimes I get angry too. And it's okay if listeners get angry as well. Hey, man, thanks for spending time with us, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, man.
Ivan Neville from Dumpster Funk, and this is Dumpster Funk. Justice. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.